Good morning and welcome as we celebrate our Palm Sunday together. Thank you for being with me. You know, every Sunday for the last 25 almost years, I've gotten up in the pulpit on a Sunday and preached a sermon. And over those years, I'm going to say that I've done my best not to repeat stories or not to repeat illustrations and try to have something fresh and different every week. And, you know, sometimes that requires a lot of special effort. And I really do my best to try to make sure that the examples that I use, the pictures that I paint with the words that I use, match the scripture passage in such a way that it naturally leads a person from the one to the other, from the specifics of the life that we live to the very specifics of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I put a lot of work into that, and it's always both simultaneously gratifying to me and frustrating to me when after a sermon someone will come up to me and say, "Hey, you told that funny story about that time you found a porcupine," or whatever it is. "Yeah, let me tell you what, that was such a great illustration. I totally had something like that happen to me a couple of years ago. That was really marvelous. Made me think about that. That was great." And I think to myself, I'm glad that the metaphor or the story or the remembrance that I shared with you really connected to your own personal experience. But I always am slightly frustrated because I want to say, but did it help you understand the importance of the scripture passage today? Did it make it more poignant? Did it make it more pointed? And did it help you connect to the scripture passage that you heard? And I love it when people say, "Oh, you told the best story. I really love that story." But I tell the story in order to connect it to the meaning. So I think to myself, did I do that? I hope I do. Because sometimes it's easy to get lost in the fun part. And of course, as we're here on Palm Sunday, obviously, I can't provide you with palm leaves for at home, but we are doing it here in the sanctuary today. As we celebrate the palms and the triumphant entry in Jesus Christ seated on a colt, the child of a donkey, entering into the city of Jerusalem, there are so many marvelous images and pictures and metaphors. There's this wonderful story about the crowd waving their branches and singing, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That I want to be sure that in the midst of all of this happening, this marvelous story, that we don't lose track of the most important piece. That Jesus Christ's arrival was specifically designed with his ministry's goal of dying on the cross in mind. Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He doesn't enter like a king. He doesn't come on a stallion or an elephant or a camel or carried on a divan seat with a group of people, you know, being his retinue and you know. No, he doesn't do any of those things. He enters in the most humble way possible. He enters on the back of a donkey colt. Why is he on the back of a donkey colt? Well, he's on the back of a donkey colt because this is both A, prophecy, and B, it is a way of demonstrating his meekness. It is a way of demonstrating his connection to the ordinary people. Because here he is entering the way many of them would enter into Jerusalem on any given Tuesday. He's demonstrating that he is of the people. And he's also demonstrating that he is laying claim for himself to no power and authority of an earthly nature. And in fact, this will become an element in his defense as he stands before Pontius Pilate, who says to him, "Are you a king?" And he says, "Well, that's what you've been told, but I am not a king of this world." I'm a king of the kingdom of heaven. I lay claim to no earthly kingdom. Jesus' entry with all of its fanfare, all of its excitement, people throwing their clothes on the road, people taking branches off the trees and laying them in the street so as his poor donkey doesn't even have to get its hooves dirty. Which is fairly ridiculous if you consider the fact that he rode it all the way up to Jerusalem. I'm sure that particular ship has already sailed. But here's Jesus. He's making this triumphant arrival because Jerusalem is ultimately going to be his triumph. It's going to be his success. It's going to be his victory. But what does that victory look like? It looks like meekness. It looks like mildness. And it looks like sacrifice. This is the part that nobody at this point in the story is getting. Even his own disciples, when he tries to explain it to them, reject the notion that he will be rejected by the leaders and executed on a cross. But he knows that he is. He knows that his entry does not mark an earthly triumph. He knows his entry marks a divine triumph. And the same people who hold the leaves of the palm branches up and shout, "Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord," are the exact same people who 1 week later are going to say, "Crucify him." They're the exact same people that, when given the opportunity to choose Jesus Christ, a man who has done harm to no one, or Barabbas, a man who led a violent revolt that killed many Roman soldiers, and they say to him, "Which one do you want? The one who says, 'I claim no authority in this world, but all authority in heaven is given to me,' or the one who says, 'I claim authority to execute our Roman oppressors'? Which one do you want?" The people say, "Give us Barabbas." And this might be easily seen as a defeat. But of course, it was never Jesus' plan to do anything other than give his life on a cross for you and for me. See, this is the true meaning of the story of the triumphant entry. Jesus is entering into the city of Jerusalem to die. And he's entering there to die for you and for me, in order that he might take to the cross all of our sin. That's a difficult thing for us to comprehend. Because in order for Jesus Christ to bring the kingdom of the world into the world that we live in, the first thing he has to do is he has to remove the taint of sin from us in order that we can be brought into right relationship with God the Father. This can't be done in any other way but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He gives his life for us on the cross. He dies for us there. 3 days later, when we get to Easter, he will be resurrected. But right now, in this part of the story, with all of the fanfare and all of the excitement and all of the palm branches, we are reminded of a simple fact, and that is this. That part of the story, that exciting, amazing part of the story that undoubtedly had a lot of people distracted with how awesome and amazing Jesus' arrival was, he did on the back of a colt, so that he might show the sort of death that he was going to experience. A meek one. A one that still, even in the midst of its humility, shatters the oppression of sin forever. And so as we gather together on this Palm Sunday, and we celebrate, and we're thankful that it's spring, and we're thankful that Lent is almost over, we're thankful that Easter is coming, we need to remind ourselves that this is Passion Week. This is Holy Week. This is the week where we remember the Last Supper, where we remember Jesus Christ's agony on the cross, where we remember that he laid in the tomb. This is the week that we remember that the gift of Jesus Christ is the gift that brings us life beyond death. And it only is possible because God himself entered into death. Amen.